You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
All right, what is up, Bet Slippin' listeners? We're back for another week. It's almost week five. We have 2 days until Thursday night football kicks off. So this time around, I brought on now, I might butcher this, but it's Jovan, right? Jovan?
Yep, Jovan.
All right, Jovan. Alford, right?
Yep.
Should have looked it up. Jovan Alford, he was on last year. He was with DraftKings Nation last year. He's with Sporting News this year. So, why don't you go ahead, tell us where listeners can find you. We want to do you guys due diligence or do your justice for coming on and spending your Tuesday night with us.
Hey, yeah, anytime, man. You can follow me on Twitter at Jovan10, J-O-V-A-N, 1-0. Then, like you said, check out stuff on Sporting News. We're heavy into the football season, so a lot of NFL stuff, college football stuff. And also, I have my own podcast with my crew over at Total Sports Live, TSL Podcast, and check out TotalSportsLive.com.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. That's your thing, right?
Yep.
Sure. Because you're what, Philly?
Yep.
So Philly. You're enjoying life right now. Us in Cincinnati, we're 2-2. We're not as much. All right, cool. So the breakdown from last week was this was our second straight 3-1 week. It's kind of nice to say. It's unfortunate because our one game that we missed was I gave out Seahawks Lions under. And what did that turn out to be, 70 or something? And it was 48.5. Otherwise, Bengals Dolphins under hit. Jets plus 3.5 hit, Titans plus 3.5 hit. So we've been 3-1 the last 2 weeks. Nonetheless, that is profitable. So I'll chalk that up to a win. So before we get into the games, I got to, as Jeff would used to say, we got to pay the bills. So our odds this evening are provided by Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico Sportsbook is a global sports betting leader and is now live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite picks more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. New users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply if you're over 21. See site for details. And if you have a gambling problem, which is hopefully you don't have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey and 1-800-522-4700 for Colorado. If you also do, I'm sure you can reach out to either of us for some help as well. On top of that, get your bonus today at usabet.com/podcast. That's usabet.com/podcast. So the bills are paid. Let's move on. We're going to handicap 6 games this week. We kind of got together beforehand, wanted to discuss the 6 games. So we're going to kick it off with our London game. I believe it's our second straight London game. The London game was pretty fun this week. I mean, we got a double doink, and they should be in store for a pretty good matchup. It's Packers. I believe Packers are technically the home team.
Yep, Packers are the home team.
So the Packers, so I actually wrote up the lineups for mine yesterday, and they've actually already changed a little bit. So I wrote up Giants plus 7.5, but you're actually getting the Giants at plus 8. The over-under set at 41. Do you have a play in this one? I know this wasn't one of your favorites. Something I kind of like. Do you have a play in this?
Right now I don't have a play for it, but just because of that line where we're battling between, you know, that 7.5, I think it was 7.5 earlier today, and now it's at 8 currently as we're recording. It's tough just because that's a lot of points. And like you said, we just saw how that London game went last week, and it was very close, came down to a wire with a Saints team that was missing 3 of their key playmakers on offense, and they were still making it happen. Now, I'm not saying the Giants are going to do that because we don't know, uncertainty around their quarterback position between Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor. So right now I don't have nothing that I like really per se, but I will say the Giants are 2-0 against the spread as underdogs this season. Take it for what it's worth with the teams that they've played these first 4 games, and then dating back to last season, the Packers are 5-3 against the spread when they are favored by a touchdown or more. So if you want to lay something, I think maybe going towards the Packers might be the right thing, just because this Giants team, we don't know what's going to happen at quarterback. Daniel Jones with the ankle, Tyrod Taylor with the concussion. Only huge playmaker you have to worry about is Saquon Barkley, who's been just playing out of this world this season.
Yeah, so is Danny Dimes out this week officially?
I don't think so. I think he might be listed. I think him and Tyrod are both listed as questionable, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw he had some improvement, but either way, that'll take a hit for him because a lot of his play is in his ability to run, which is weird. Yep. You don't really expect him to be a great runner. So the Giants have wins over the Panthers, Titans, and Bears. It's not overly impressive. I think what I'm betting on here is I'm betting on their coaching staff. Mm-hmm. They had that complete offseason overhaul, and they've looked way better. They've at least been competitive in every game. And like I said, they're bringing out the best in Saquon Barkley. He's the number one rusher in the league. He's averaging 463 yards. And I think the loss of Za'Darius Smith really hurt the Packers this offseason. I mean, they allowed 167 yards to New England last week, who was able to keep things close.
Right.
And like you said, the Packers, I find it difficult for them to be able to pull away when they don't have that Devontae Adams-like weapon. I mean, Alan Lazard's not making he's not going to make those big playmaking plays that Adams did.
Not at all. And then, like you said, I think we're starting to see, like, the chemistry, like, with Romeo Doubs. But, again, he's still a rookie, right? So we can't expect them to, you know, be Devontae Adams light. And this is a team in Green Bay who we've seen them really, I think, in game on Sunday, they really leaned heavy in running the ball. And I think that's really been the makeup of this team, you know, running the ball, using two running backs, you know, consistently with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So there could be a pathway to the Giants keeping it, you know, within that spread on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so I wanted to check this out, and I forgot who it was, but I wanted to look him up real quick to do him some justice. His name is John Ewing on Twitter. Just John Ewing, Ewing. He tweets out a lot. I think he's part of BetMGM's data and PR just trust people's bios these days. But so he said favorites of 7 or more are 3-6 against the spread this season, which also helps. I think basically the point is that although Packers might win outright, the Giants, especially the Giants this season, have been able to keep things close.
Right.
I think the Giants have also had a pretty solid defense. Now, I will say Panthers, a Titans team that hasn't looked great, Bears, they've only allowed more than 20, or they've yet to allow more than 20 points in a game, I believe. I might have to double check that, see if what I wrote down made sense. But yeah, so they've allowed 12, 20, 16, and 23. The 23 was to the Cowboys. So, their defense has been playing better as well with the improved coaching staff. I think taking 7.5 on a road favorite or on a road underdog in London just makes sense here.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you faulting that play just because they have a guy in Saquon. Even if, you know, Daniel Jones can't be a factor in the running game, if they can get Saquon going in this game to help eat up clock, that's going to be huge. You want to keep this Packers team off the field as much as you can, and that's like we saw what New England did, right? They were able to run the ball. And if you can run the ball, you give yourself a chance.
And I think, like, going back, like, that's going to be my biggest thing. That's like, hey, why'd you take the Giants? I took the Giants because the Patriots have no key weapons.
They don't have
a great quarterback, but they were able to run all over them and take them to overtime. Well, if they can do that, a team with, maybe not a better coaching staff, but a staff that at least much more skilled players, especially in Barkley, should be able to at least hang close. So I think Giants plus 7 might be Giants plus 8 now. I'll take my extra point, my extra half point. Might end up being one of my better bets of the weekend. But yeah, that game will be thrilling. I like the London games. I like to be able to wake up and watch football. But let's move on to our second of 6 games. Saints-Seahawks. I'm kind of interested in this game, especially after what the Seahawks showed last week. Let me find the odds real quick. The odds are Saints minus 5.5. And actually, when I looked this up, so I did all my research yesterday, and the lines were out then, and it was 4.5 then. So both of these have kind of moved a little bit. So it's Saints now minus 5.5. The over-under is set at 45.5, presumably after what Seattle showed last week. Now, do you have anything in this game? I guess initially I didn't have anything on the total, but initially that feels like a very high total considering how good the Saints defense has been.
Yeah,
I would possibly play the total,
take that under just because that 5.5, that's a very tricky number with both of these teams. Like we said, the Seahawks, they played really good last week, but they also played a Lions defense that gives up a ton of points and yards. Yeah, exactly, to everyone. So when you see that, I'm just a little hesitant. And then we also got to factor in for the Saints. We still don't know what's going to be the availability for Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and Jameis Winston, who are all listed as questionable. Hopefully we'll get something more clear later in the week. But right now, I probably would be with you, you know, taking the under on a total, just because 45.5 against a Seahawks offense who they got guys, Geno's playing well, but like I said, that Saints defense, they're not going to give up the yards on the ground that the Lions were able to, that the Lions, you know, gave up to, you know, to Seattle last week. So under 45.5, I definitely agree with you. That's definitely a play I'm definitely going to lock in, just because, like I said, that spread at 5.5, I don't really trust neither team right now.
Yeah, I think my only concern with that is just like, so a lot of times I do like to bet what the public doesn't, and it feels like that under, you're just going to see that one. Like, usually unders aren't the popular thing is all I'm saying. So right. I think this isn't going to be a best bet because I don't know the injury status. But if Kamara plays and Thomas plays and you feel confident that they're going to play, I would lock it in. I don't care that much about Jameis because I'm not sure he's that much better than Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. But the Saints have an elite defense. Cam Jordan was a dog if you saw him last week against when Dalvin Cook even tried to do anything. So Seattle ran for 235 yards against Detroit. Quite simply put, some dude tried to trade me Rashad Penny and two of my fantasy leagues. Simply put, they're not going to do that again. I mean, the Seahawks have faced two good defenses, San Fran and Denver, and they scored a combined 23 points against those teams. I'm not even sure. I mean, San Fran might be the best defense in the league, but I don't think the Denver defense is better than the Saints. Probably not. It's at least close.
Yeah, I definitely think.
The Saints are going to be back home. Hopefully they get reinforcements. Like I said, I wouldn't play this until I think Thomas is a little less concerning than Kamara. If Kamara doesn't play, I probably wouldn't play this. But if Kamara plays and this line doesn't get over a touchdown, give me that. Chris Olave, those guys have been too impressive this season.
Yeah, 100%. Chris, yeah, I'm glad you brought up Olave. I'm definitely going to be interested to see what his props look like for this week, because I think he could definitely have, if, like we said, if we get Michael Thomas, then he's definitely going to have some opportunities to, you know, exploit that Seahawks defense. And if Alvin Kamara plays, I think we got to, you know, if we get plus money for Alvin Kamara anytime touchdown, I definitely think we have to play that as well if we can get that good number for them. Because Rashard Penny scored a touch. I think, no, Seahawks giving up 4 rushing touchdowns this season. That's like third highest in the league to running back. So if we can get some plus money on those props, definitely keep an eye out on that too.
Did you by chance get a look at any props? Are there any props out?
Sadly, there are no props out, and I'm kind of angry about that, because I always like to get an early jump on the props, just because we know the numbers. You know this best too.
Dude, I was about to say, last year when you came on, you started giving out these props, and I swear, my co-host was like, "The hell is this dude doing right now?" He's like, "We only ever give out totals and spreads, and this guy's giving out anytime touchdown prop." I was like, you know what? We let the guests do whatever the guests do, but it was just a good moment.
Yeah, I mean, like you always want to, like you said, in addition to spreads and totals and money lines, if you always can give people just a little bit more on top, like, here's a prop you might want to consider. It makes the Sunday NFL experience fun, which is already fun, you know, as is.
Yeah, if you're going to lock into a game, it's definitely nice to be able to lock in and watch a player as well. All right, third time, almost halfway through. It's time to move on to one game that should draw some eyes. It's going to be Browns, Chargers. So there's a lot of firepower on the field. The Chargers are -3 right now. It's -110 both ways. The total set at 47.5. Now, I have my play, but I'm going to let you take the wheel here first. Do you have anything on this game, or do you look? Do you do much on it?
For me, I like Browns +3, And I know Birdman on Twitter, Half Man, Half Bird, I think, but I forgot the name, Half Man, Half Birdman, or something like that.
On Twitter?
Yeah, yeah, that's my guy. He's in our sports betting chat. I know he was on Browns early in the week, so I'm going to piggyback off him and take Browns plus +3. Even though the Chargers are 2-1 against the spread on the road, the Browns are 2-0 at home this season. And they lost the game last week, which they probably should have won, you know. But again, when you struggle against stopping the run, when you let that happen, it's going to be issues. And I think that's going to be the key thing in this game, which defense is going to hold up and stopping the run. Because I think we got two of the better running backs in the league right now, and Nick Chubb, and what's his name, Austin Eckler, who had a big game last week against Houston. Now, granted, the Texans, but still a very good game. And we also got to know about the Chargers. What's going to happen with Keenan Allen? That hamstring injury has been kind of giving them issues throughout the first, quarter of the season. So for me, I'm going to take Browns plus +3, because I think if they get that running game, continue to keep it going with Nick Chubb, who's going over 100 yards in three out of the first four games, and had 118 last week against Atlanta. And if, they get Jadeveon Clowney back and Myles Garrett, they get them both back to put pressure on that Chargers offensive line that doesn't have Rashawn Slater, I like the Browns' chances to keep this game close and keep it within a field goal. And then Jacoby Brissett, I think, has done the job, too, as a game manager as well.
So I think my only concern with the take is really just that who have the Browns played? When we look at that.
Correct.
They're 2-2 after the Steelers, Jets, Panthers, and Falcons. They could be 4-0 right now. They should be 4-0 right now. And I hate the Browns. Like, they're probably the team I hate the most in the whole league. So, my play on this was going to be the under. And I think it's weird because of how much firepower is on the field. I can understand why bettors might be like, I'm not going to take the under here. You just got to think of teams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Justin Herbert. But if we're being honest, if you look at the Chargers, they really haven't put it all together yet, especially offensively. So they scored 34 on the Texans. I mean, congrats. They scored 10 on the Jaguars, 24 on the Chiefs, and 24 on the Raiders. I mean, if they win 24-21, it's just something that feels right, because they haven't been able. I mean, that's almost what the sports books think, is it's going to be like a 24-21 type game here.
Right.
So, both teams also rank outside of the top 10 in yards per play. So although you have Nick Chubb, Eckler, Williams, like you said, the Browns are giving it to Chubb often, and the Chargers like to keep it on the ground as well. So the Chargers are 2-2 at the over under this season, but they've topped 24 points for this caliber of an offense just once. And that is a concern. And at the same time, the Browns, I think you can still make the case that they haven't really played anyone. They hung 30 on the Jets. The 29 on the Steelers was impressive. The 26 on the Panthers was impressive. But ultimately, I think the absence of Keenan Allen, Denzel Ward on the other side with Mike Williams, just how poor Herbert's been able to get the ball into the end zone this year, I think all that'll build, and I think it's a pretty decent underplay here, especially, like I said, I like to play things that the public doesn't like to play, and the public is not going to want to play the under for this game. No one's going to want to play that, and it feels like it's going to be a good bet, because most people, I don't think, feel like the Chargers have struggled.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think, like you said, a lot of people will factor in, the Keenan Allen injury. Say, well, if Keenan Allen was healthy, this team would be, doing, X, Y, and Z. Or to say, he lost to the Chiefs by 3, and if you take away the pick 6, then things could have been, like, way different than they were right now. So the underplay, definitely, I think, is something people should look out for, just because, like you said, the public is probably going to think over. But at 47.5, I mean, there's no problem taking that under.
Yeah, so it's at 48.5, and they would have hit this.
Definitely take that
under. They would have hit this twice this season, but I don't know. Part of me just doesn't trust that. I don't think you can really trust the 34 they put up on the Texans, especially because they had to kind of come back in that game after scoring 20 in the second.
Exactly, and I think people also forgot about that too. Like, that game, even though they won by 10, it was closer than that 10 points, and they were about to cough it up.
And the Browns grind you, man. What are, like, Damian Pierce having 14 carries and putting that onto 131 yards? Like, Nick Chubb is going to eat some clock, and they're going to try to abuse the Chargers on the ground. And that's one reason why, like, your Browns handicap feels spot on, because if the Browns learned anything from scouting them, it should be that they can't stop the run.
Yeah, and that's been the major issue for the Chargers, even dating back to last season. They've struggled to stop the run, and now you know the Chargers defense, they don't have Joey Bosa on the other side, so it's really just Khalil Mack on the other side. But this defense that has the talent at all three levels, still, like you said, just like the offense, the defense haven't put it all together either, and that's a concern against a Browns team who, you know, they're trying to bounce back after last week's loss that shouldn't have been a loss. So if they get Nick Chubb rolling, and then we didn't even factor in Kareem Hunt, if they get him rolling in the run game and the passing game, good luck to the Chargers in that one.
And like you were saying before, I think there's something to be said about, like, a player that kind of just, like, takes what he can get. Like, Jacoby Brissett, I actually have a friend at work that he's a big Browns fan. I hate him for it, whatever. I'm not going to hold it against him. But Jacoby Brissett isn't Deshaun Watson.
No.
You know, he's not going to win you the Super Bowl. But it's kind of like Geno Smith. Like, you really shouldn't bet against Geno Smith. I mean, Geno Smith has a 77% completion percentage right now. He's leading the league. I mean, Jacoby Brissett, it might not be at the same level, but he's at 64.6%. So he's not a player that's, like, down there with the Justin Fields and the Bakers and the Marcus Mariotas. Like, Jacoby Brissett is a serviceable backup, and he's going to continue to be that. And I think against the Chargers, if they can keep the ball on the field, keep it out of the hands of Herbert, they'll probably be fine. Yeah, I don't know why I got stuck on hyping up the Browns, but that's painful. All right, let's move on. I don't want to talk about the Browns more. That's just an awful situation to get into. All right, so next up on our list, 4th of 6th, is Dolphins at Jets. I believe Dolphins at Jets. The Dolphins are getting 3.5. I think this one, if over any game we're going to talk about, feels the most like a trap line. But I think everyone's going to see the 3.5, and I would kind of like to factor in, so you can get the numbers right now for the handicapping splits, but like me and Jeff have said before, like, who's bet? Like, how are you going to get – how's BetMGM getting their data? No one's bet on Tuesday. I haven't placed bets on Tuesday. So,
right.
I don't know. I guess that's kind of my factor in. So, I don't like using that, but in theory, I think we can agree that the Dolphins -3.5, even with Teddy Bridgewater, should be the heavily bet side.
Yeah, I think it definitely will be a heavily bet side, just because, like you said, even without, you know, Tua there, they still, like you said, Bridgewater, with a full week of practice under his belt, still serviceable. They have Tariq Hill. They have Jaylen Waddle. I mean, we saw what Rashad Bateman and Devin Duvernay was able to do against this Jets defense in week 1. Now they have to go against Hill and Waddle at the same time. And then you got Gesicki at tight end. Definitely think a lot of the public's going to be on the Dolphins, and you can't blame them, just because they have the weapons to kind of keep them in the game. And even defensively, they're not a horrible team defensively.
And it's like you said with like we were talking about with Brissett, Teddy Bridgewater isn't going to win you the Super Bowl, but he's probably one of the best backups in the league. So I think there's something to be said. So the over-under, the total is currently set at 44.5. Miami's -180 on the money line. The Jets are +150 on the money line. So I will say this was probably my least handicapped game. I think Zach Wilson looked pretty good down the stretch in the fourth quarter against the Steelers. I mean, he was a huge chunk of the reason why they were able to come back. No, I don't really want to put that too much on the Jets. The Steelers have been historically bad without TJ Watt. So I don't know. I don't really want to bet Dolphins here, is kind of where I'm getting at. I don't really hate betting the under. The Dolphins have a solid defense. I think Xavien Howard and Byron Jones would pose a much more difficult matchup than Minka and the Steelers secondary. So I think just all in all, I would play the under, but I'm not sure I have an official play. What do you like more on this one? Are you going Dolphins 3.5? Because you sounded like you were hyping them up, but at the same time, it like I was kind of saying, it's easy to see why people love them.
Yeah, right now I don't have a play. I mean, I might contemplate putting them in a teaser and probably tease them up just a little bit with something else, just because I think they'll be able to, if you tease them up, I think they still should be able to get the number done. And I think, you know, for the Dolphins, for me, it's just going to be, can you get the running game going against the Jets defense that, you know, is giving up 108 on the ground? And I know the Dolphins struggle to run the ball, but this is going to be a situation where there's no Tua, so you have to get that, you know, running game going. So right now I don't have a play for it, but again, I'll be interested to see, you know, what player props look like, especially for Jalen Waddle and even a Mike Gesicki, see how, you know, those type of things shake out for, you know, those guys. And even on the Jets side, see what a Breece Hall and Michael Carter props are looking like too.
I will say, I think it'll be interesting prop wise for Raheem Mostert. I think he would be one of the ones I'm most interested in, which I didn't know this, but his first name is Dominique.
Never knew that. I never knew that either.
Learn things every day. I just looked him up to look up what his carry totals were at, and it was just Dominique Raheem is his name. Cool. But yeah, so he had a season best 15 attempts, carries, I will say, whereas Chase Edmonds had 5 against the Bengals. I think that kind of goes to show where the Dolphins are wanting to be at offensively. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, they're going to want a back that is a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more experienced.
Yeah.
And that could bode well. A, that could bode well for the under, but B, I also think that bodes well for his props. I mean, he's got he's going to be the more experienced runner, and that's what they tried to do versus my Bengals last week. Is they were going to look to the ground more so after Tua went down. Because I mean, if you watch that game, the first drive they shredded the Bengals. Tua was looking great. And then they had to change their schemes. I think you see a much more run-heavy game, and then they focus on their defense. So, if I had to play here, I would like the Mostert props. I think it's probably going to be ungodly low. I mean, I think it'll be like 40 something if I had to bet. I don't know what it was last week. He hit 69, but every time he's got more over 10 carries, he's had over 4.5 yards per carry average, and I think he gets the attempts here.
Definitely. I agree with you. That's definitely something I'm going to look out for, because like you said, if he's going to get the attempts and whip Waddle and Hill, even Gesicki, commanding the attention that they're going to command in the passing game, Jets are going to protect to make sure nothing goes over the top, and they're going to try to make sure they don't get beat in the passing game. So like you said, this could be a huge chance for Mostert to really exploit that Jets defense, which is perfect. And
he's kind of been an afterthought a lot this season. I mean, he had 5 in the first one, 5 carries, and then 11, and then 8. I mean, he had 15 in the last one. Chase Edmonds is more of the passing catching back, so I think it'll be interesting. He's probably my favorite prop to watch if I had to pick one on this game. All right, so let's move on to my favorite team and the one that I'm most excited to talk about, the Cincinnati Bengals. So the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens, they're getting Sunday Night Football. This, not to brag, but this will be the Bengals' second straight primetime game. The spread is currently set at 3.5, which I do some writing for SB Nation over at Cincy Jungle. I don't know if you've heard of their well, obviously you've heard of theirs because DK Nation was part of that. So Cincy Jungle is part of that, and we had a group chat, and I think a lot of people were shocked at this 3.5. Especially because we destroyed a Ravens team that was one time we destroyed them last year on the road, and they were relatively healthy then. Mm-hmm. Now, when they came down to our place, I forget who the quarterback was, but what was that guy's name?
It had to be Huntley,
Trevor,
right? Huntley.
Tyler Huntley. Yeah. So he was playing, and then it wasn't close, but they did beat them handily once already. So 3.5 plus 3.5 almost feels like a trap line here. The over under set at 48. Do you have a play in this game? Did you do much research on it?
For me, the play in this game, and I dug through all the team props and things like that. For me, I'm liking the team total, which I found at 21.5 for the Bengals. I think this Ravens defense has not looked good at all. Like, they've given up yards, they've given up big plays, and they pretty much have fallen apart in the second half a couple of times. And that's very concerning for a team that's very good in the secondary. And I think the Bengals everybody knows the Bengals, they can score points. I think they have the we already know they have the playmakers at wide receiver, running back Joe Mixon, even Hayden Hurst is getting into the mix. And if they can protect Joe Burrow, then I think he'll be able to have a good game. I don't think, you know, he could have 3 touchdowns in this game, which gets us close to the number. Shoot, but he can even give you 2 touchdowns, and I think they can still make up this in total with even Evan McPherson, who I've been enjoying playing his props a lot this season because he's just been automatic. It can get you 6 to 9 points right there. So right now I have the Bengals team total over, I think it's 21.5 now. I mean, I got it at 22.5 at another book. But if it's at 21.5, definitely take, because I think the Bengals will put up points on Sunday.
Yeah. So I'm just going to piggyback off that. I mean, you did all the work for me. Why do I even need to say anything? I was going to play the team total or the game total over 48. So the Bengals, oddly, are the only team in the NFL without over having hit yet. But it's been primarily because of their offense. And then as their offense has clicked, there's been a plethora of other things that have happened. Mm-hmm. So let's look at this real quick. Let me pull it up. Week one, they played the Steelers. Steelers, great defense with TJ Watt. Watt abused them. Week two, they played the Cowboys. Their offense didn't get going. They scored 17. Week three, their offense gets going. They scored 27, but it's on the Jets. So the Jets don't really put up points and they don't cover. Week four, their offense gets going again. They've scored 27 points in the last 2 weeks, but their opponent hasn't been able to keep up. Last week, the Dolphins would have blasted the over if Tua stayed healthy. I mean, they were on track. Did you watch that game?
Yep.
It felt like Tua scored in 2 minutes. I don't know what the actual numbers are, but his first possession, like the Bengals, it seemed like the Bengals had to grit out that Joe Mixon touchdown, and Tua was just like, oh, 6 open receivers touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bengals are really, I think it was just a slow start. I mean, they scored 20 and then 17, but they've scored 27 in 2 straight games. And the Ravens have hit at least 20 in every game, or they've hit 20 in every game, but they've also allowed over 23 in 3 of the 4. So their defense, they came into the league with what should have been one of the best secondaries in the league, but they're allowing 6.2 yards per play, which is in the bottom 5 of the NFL. So I'm going to play the over 48 here. It's sad because I can almost guarantee you this is going to be the public favorite, but I think a lot of the times where the betting splits matter more is probably on the spread, because I think generally speaking, if you think about why you fade the public, it's because all the money's one place. Well, I don't really know if there'll even be that much money on the total in proportion. So even if it's a huge public favorite, I still like it. I can't find a reason to think that the Bengals offense is going to slow down against the Ravens defense that hasn't proven anything. And similarly, Lamar Jackson's good enough to where you just can't, you don't want to bet against him getting at least 20. I mean, he's got 20 every game. If he gets 23, all you got to do is hit your team total and it's the over. So I think it's a good way to play it.
Oh, no, the total is definitely going to play it, because like you said, the Bengals offense is starting to figure it out and kicking into high gear. And then Baltimore, they've, you know, proven to everybody that they can also throw the ball too and score points, you know, through the air with Mark Andrews, you know, with Rashad Bateman, with Devin Duvernay. And that's not even what a running game that really haven't even started to get going yet. So definitely that, like you said, the over might be the public play, but shoot, I mean, that's probably a very good play in a okay slate on week 5.
Yeah, and the Bengals haven't really played a good tight end yet. A lot of their defense was similar to last year, but it's still hard because Lamar's a different player. They had Huntley in for some last year. It's hard to compare what the Ravens were specifically last year as compared to this year. Now, the Bengals have a lot of similarities, especially defensively. Their offensive line was completely retooled, but they have a lot of similarities, especially defensively. But it's really hard to see where the Ravens are going to stack up, especially against some of these AFC North teams that they'll see twice. All right, cool. Well, that was my favorite game to handicap. So let's move on to Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is a good game this week. Sometimes the Monday Night Football game busts. Yesterday was pretty good with the 49ers. I felt like a good high-quality game with 49ers-Rams. So the Chiefs-Raiders, it's Raiders at Chiefs, I believe. The line is 7. So the Raiders are getting 7. Raiders are +7. Chiefs are -7. The total's sky high. And I don't know if I could even suggest playing the under this. But the total set at 50.5. I feel like after what the – I wasn't even going to meaning to get into this right now. But I think after what the Chiefs did last year, I think – or last week, I think there's no way you play the under. But I'm sure as hell not playing an over at 50.5 where everyone's going to bet it.
Yeah,
this no. This my handicap from the last game really doesn't do justice here, but I'm not playing the over. I think if I play anything, it's probably Raiders +7. I think they're better than they've shown. But what do you think?
Yeah, no. If I had to choose a side, that's the way I would be leaning too, with Raiders, you know, +7, just because, like you said, they've played better than what their 1-3 record, you know, indicated. The Chargers game in week 1 where they lost by 5 points, they could have easily won that game if Derek Carr didn't have, you know, the multiple turnovers, and if the offensive line could have held up against that, you know, good Chargers defensive line with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. The Cardinals game in week 2, they should have won that. If they don't give it up like they did.
Yeah, literally, that was disgusting.
That's what I'm saying. And they should have won again. So we're looking at 2-0. Tennessee, they start out bad, but then they pick it up. Again, bad start, but they finish strong. And then Denver, they go ahead and handle their business, you know, get Josh Jacobs going on the ground. They could. This should be a team better than 1-3. And then you hope that Hunter Renfro is back. He is still listed as questionable. And if they, hopefully they can get him back with it being a longer week. If they get him back, then you got to give the Raiders a chance here at +7. And even they have, even though they have a coach who had a head coach that's had a couple of coaching opportunities before, but he's not. This is not his first, you know, rodeo. He knows how to attack this, you know, KC defense, which, you know, they give up points too. They gave up 31 last week to the Bucks. So
yeah, so that's where actually my handicap comes in a little bit. So the Saints lost, or the Chiefs lost their top safety and corner this offseason.
Yep.
And I think that's where you really gotta make your handicap is the Chiefs opponent's completion percentage is the second worst in the league. There's only two teams in the league that have an opponent's completion percentage north of 70. And one of them is the Chiefs. They just don't. They've been able to maybe stop teams or limit them, but they haven't been able to really, really stop these drives. I don't even think that one made sense. But so the Chiefs ripped Las Vegas both times last year. But in 2020, the Raiders won a game. They were less talented than they are now, and they also would have covered a 7-point spread in the other game. So Las Vegas, we can both agree, Las Vegas isn't the better team, but they shouldn't be touchdown underdogs. And I think it goes back to the whole teams that are touchdown favorites are 3-6. I don't think we see a blowout here. And I think this is a great point. The only game of the day, I think this is a great place to play. Hey, the public is going to be all over the Chiefs after what we saw last week and the Raiders being 1-3. I would almost guarantee I play Raiders +7 when it comes down to it.
Oh, yeah, same thing. I'm going to lock in Raiders +7. I'm going to lock it in on the Action app. I'm going to lock it in multiple places because, like you said, that's going to be such a public play. Like, everybody's going to just...
And I get it. Like deep down, I get it. You can't... After what Patty showed last week, you're not going to bet against him, and especially at home, Andy right. Reid. But at the same time, the Raiders were able to get Josh Jacobs going. If they can figure that out, if they maybe start involving Darren Waller and Devontae Adams at all,
come on,
which is insane because Darren Waller is a top 5 tight end in the league, and he has like 10 targets this season. I have him on a fantasy team, if you can't tell. Like,
trust me, I have George Kittle on my fantasy team, so I understand the pain right now.
Yeah, like my man has 16 receptions through 4 games, and he hasn't even touched over 80 yards. Like, come on. Like,
if not,
Darren Waller at 6'6", 260, he should be lighting some of these teams up. So, I mean, I do expect Derek Carr to be better.
He has to be better. And if Derek Carr does not turn over the football, which was his big, you know, bugaboo, you know, earlier in the year against the Chargers, another division opponent, if he plays clean football, then this Raiders team should be able to keep it close. Like we said, I don't know if they're going to pull the upset per se, but Monday night on the road, they really do not have nothing to lose. They have everything to gain here against a Chiefs team that's coming off an impressive game over Tom Brady on Sunday night, and now they go back on Monday night. So, hey, Raiders are starting to – if they can get this win, it's going to do a lot of confidence for them, especially after beating the Broncos the way that they did.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. All right, cool. Well, let's wrap it up. I got a little cue. We're going to go to the window. Do you have some best bets ready? I don't know if I remember told you.
Yes. Tell you.
All right, cool. Well, here's a little.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
All right, let that play out. And I don't know why Jeff started this, but we're at the window. I have five. I have two totals, three sides. What do you got?
I have Browns plus +3. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the team total for the Bengals at 21.5, and I'm going to lock in Raiders plus +7.
All right. We're kind of samesies on some of these, so I'm going Raiders plus +7, Saints minus -5.5, Giants plus +8, Browns Chargers under 48.5, and Bengals Ravens over 48. I like those five. Again, thank you for coming on. To all our listeners, please like, review, subscribe to our podcast. Thank you, Jovan. Again, just appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem, man. Anytime.
All right, let's do it again. Thank you to all the listeners. Again, have a good rest of your day and good rest of your night, whenever you're listening to this, and we'll catch you next week. See ya.